Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Matthew Casanelli, and I'm here to help teach automation to everyone.
I'm Julia Scott, and I cast Matthew's house into complete darkness. And also, I keep wanting to call this show Supercompooper.
Well, welcome to the show, Julia. I guess, do you want to tell people a bit about yourself?
I like long walks. No. I'm a journalist and writer and part-time potter. Some of you might have heard my podcast, Make Do, which is about art and creativity and feelings that I make with Tiff Arment.
Excellent show. And potter as in pottery.
As in pottery.
I heard, like, potter as like podcast, and I was like, oh, God, yeah, is that a terrible term for podcast?
No, I make the joke that I'm a potter and a potter.
Yeah.
But the bad thing is it's very much one of those jokes that you start out making ironically, and then it just becomes part of your vocabulary.
So, yes, you have been staying with me, and we were having a conversation about the HomePod, and you yelled out, hey, supercomputer, except using the actual ladies thing. Oh, no. What the heck? My HomePod just triggered with, hey, supercomputer. Okay. It didn't do it again. So that's, I was going to say, that'd be a new one, but.
Somebody right, hacked your house. Yeah, no, I was talking about how sometimes certain automations annoy me if my beloved housemate, no, my husband, like if he set up stuff and then some parts of it, like I can't access because he's been doing it for a long time, long before it was things that were, I was going to say automated automations, but like stuff that was more appy and shortcutty and stuff. So
he was
like
programming
if,
his own.
Yeah, like he would be traveling and then I wouldn't be able to turn on the reading lights because there was this weird smart plug somewhere under the bed that would dim it according to the time of night. And I'm like, don't shame me for wanting to read a physical book with no backlight late at night. And then I joked about how his iPad doesn't listen to me. So like a one person. It recognizes only one master. So I will sometimes jokingly yell at it. So I said, hey, computer lady, good night. And then.
But as you're telling the story, all of the lights in our house go off. And like my girlfriend's in the other room, just like, what the?
And I'm like, sorry. Because I guess I just like it. I didn't reflect on it because I figured, you know, the lady is a one master lady, but not in your house. Because we don't have a HomePod.
Yeah, fair. Well, that's kind of, I mean, we have a couple of topics. I am curious because you use an Android phone, but you are also generally device agnostic as the way you phrase it. And plus, do you have a digital assistant besides the HomePod? Or not the HomePod, but
the lady.
Yeah, do you have an
Well, I don't use the lady on my iPad at all. I just haven't gotten around to it because we'll get to why in a second. Sure. Well, my Android, I have a Galaxy, and I hate Bixby.
Oh,
like the because you can't.
I didn't even know it worked yet, but
it kind of doesn't. But it keeps going like, "Hey, Joanna Bixby, Joanna Bixby, oh Joanna Bixby." Like it keeps popping it's out from the side, like and no, I don't know what it says. Like, but there's a button that's like Bixby dedicated. You can't turn it off. You can't set it to do anything else, and I can't deactivate Bixby because it needs an update to allow me to deactivate it and it won't install the update properly. And I feel it's kind of like, I'm afraid I can't do that. Like it's just trying to protect itself.
Yeah, it's like, don't wipe my memory. I want to remember.
Exactly.
I just watched Westworld, so that's very prescient.
There's a song that's called Don't Unplug Me. It's like a love song between. Anyway, but yeah, no, I don't really use that kind of digital assistant
so
at all.
Echo? I didn't say it. Or Google Home or anything?
No pods. Which surprises people.
Mm-hmm. I thought you did for some reason, but
okay. No, my household is a combination of all the tech and then also tinfoil hat.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, maybe if you're not that into Apple News, you might not know that people basically were listening to like accidents.
No, I know that. I felt vindicated. But like it wasn't even like a vindication like haha told you. It was more like what were you expecting?
It's like, what did you think was really happening?
But I also feel like because that's the thing when people talk about like, oh, I never Googled this thing. I only mentioned it and then Facebook gave me ads. And it's like long before the internet, algorithms have existed and been able to calculate stuff. Like did you read that? Might have been a New Yorker article like ages and ages ago about how Target could figure out if people were pregnant and then send them like the right coupons.
Yeah.
And somebody got mad because his teenage daughter certainly wasn't pregnant. And then he came back and apologized. Which like people, both companies and the government, know so much about you that, like, they don't even need to listen in.
Yeah, that's what I was, I think somebody was saying, they were like, my doctor isn't going to know when I'm going to die. And he was from the UK, so he's like, Tesco knows because they know what I bought. They know what I'm eating and how healthy I am and stuff like
that. Yeah, and that's not to say that, like, I do very much believe in, like, integrity and privacy, yeah. But I'm kind of like, this was not the one thing that was suddenly a surprise.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I have an Android phone. I've always used Android phones. I've used iPhones as work phones sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been given them when I've worked in newsrooms and stuff. And I think one of the reasons that part of it is just, like, I'm change averse. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I like this. I understand this. I'm used to this. And I think the reason that I never really got into the iPhone is I also wanted to have, like, a clear distinction between work and home. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, like, you get your work phone, that's the phone you use, yeah, because you usually get, like, you know, free.
It's, like, better.
Yeah, you get, like, free data, all that stuff. You don't have to think about it, and you don't want to charge both. You don't want to remember what's on which phone, which I totally get. But for me, partially because I was usually, like, in a project, so I was only going to be there for maybe a year or so. Mm-hmm. But just, like, I wanted to not have work email on the phone that I was going to be looking at in the night.
That's smart.
So because I didn't have all the apps I love and use on my work phone, I never really got into the iPhone. So it was just, like, annoying to remember which functions were.
That makes sense.
But I've been using MacBooks for a long time. I have an iMac at home. A lot of newsrooms, especially when you do TV stuff, will have iMacs because they're often better for editing, like, video and sound. So I'm very, like, in the, I don't know, larger format iOS world, I'm very comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I got an iPad, like an iPad Pro, maybe, I'm going to say 2 years, and then you're going to get an email that's like, actually, it was 18 months ago, but whatever. But so, two-ish years ago, I got the iPad Pro primarily for the Pencil.
Yeah.
Because I've had a bunch of different tablets, all of them Android. Again, just because I would, like, the functions all translate, like, I can, they can interact, I can use the same apps, I don't have to think about it. And then my husband bought a Pro and a Pencil, and I was like, ooh, Procreate, this is a thing I want to do.
Especially, most Android tablets don't have any sort of, I guess they'd even call it styluses.
Yeah, and I like the way that the Pencil worked.
Yeah.
And I, of course, got a little guilty. I was like, why am I buying toys? And then I was like, because you're allowed to. You make your own money.
You are an artist.
And an adult. But even so, it's probably only a few months ago that I actually started using it for anything other than reading and drawing. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I tried to intentionally
separating.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, I love my Kindle, for instance, because nothing else can show up on it. I can't get distracted by notifications. Or even more by that thought, like, I wonder what's going on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about at all. I've never had that problem.
Right. And so I was like, well, you know, I like my iPad. It's also, it's good for reading when you're indoors. So I was like, I'm only going to have pretty much, like, the Kindle app and Procreate on it. And, like, maybe, I don't know, YouTube or something. But to not get any alerts and also not be able to be distracted. But now I'm using it more and more to do work stuff. Like, I'm in the US for a month right now. And so I'm doing all my podcast editing, all my writing, all that stuff on the iPad. So obviously I needed all my apps and all my logins and all that stuff.
Didn't you say you just got a keyboard at Christmas also?
Yeah, I got a good magnetic keyboard with all the extra weird letters that we have in Sweden for Christmas. Or was it my birthday? My birthday is fairly close to Christmas, but, like, less than a year ago, which also made a good change because it's like,
yeah, it's not, it's easier. Like, just a tablet. It's more
of exactly.
Like
a laptop. It's more of a laptop adjacent. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that I joke that it feels a little bit like cheating that Pontus is still at home for a couple weeks, or now at this point, another week until he's meeting up with me in the US. And even when he gets here, we can access servers and stuff to do things at home, to, you know, fix certain stuff, access things that whatever. So that feels kind of like cheating, but I also feel like most of the type of people who use their iPads for work, like, that kind of person will probably also have stuff at home that they can, like, connect
to. Or, like, a work computer to tap into, too. Yeah, that is interesting. It's the iPad-only realm is, like, definitely way more possible than it was a few years ago.
But there's also, like, quotation marks around only.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not even in that realm where, because I've already had this, or there are just like certain production type stuff that is usually where you end up having.
Well, kind of the same as when a lot of people throughout the past few decades, like you have your laptop and then you bring it to work and you dock it, and then like the it's still sort of like the core of mm-hmm. whatever you're doing, but you're doing everything on a big screen with it.
Yeah, I'm totally was like, I'm gonna get the Apple display and then like a powerful enough Mac Mini and an iPad, but then it's like, wait, the Mac Minis aren't as good as the iMac, the one that I already have, and then they don't the screens don't work, and it's like I feel like I might be dang, I'm stuck with an iMac and an iPad. This sucks. No, it definitely is. Yeah, I think that was interesting because when I first met Pontus, he was like, oh, I'm all Android, but I have an iPad. And I was like, or no, he went for the iPod Touch just for shortcuts. And
yeah, like because he had an...
You're now my friend.
Yeah, no, he had an iPad. He'd like gone through a couple of generations of iPad. He, because he's like a Linux person, so mm-hmm. like he, you know, works in all sorts of laptops. But yeah, he had several generations of iPad, and then he got the iPod Touch. And his most recent work phone, which is his one phone, is an iPhone. Yeah, he got it like a couple of weeks ago. So Matt and Pontus are going
to... Now I'm trying to get you right now. No.
See, the thing is, with like I like my Android. Again, like I like that I know how everything works. But part of me is like, I have this weird little like, nuh-uh, four-year-old inside me.
Yeah.
So like coming here, hanging out with, you know, people on the Relay Network and people who listen to Relay, because I was at the anniversary show, and just like generally California, West Coast tech yeah. people, you do feel a little bit like the guy who like, I got a rock.
That's good.
But like oh, so I'm like, yeah, no. But I'm just like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to stick with my Android.
I totally get that. It doesn't help that the Relay community is really nice and won't actually force it on you. So you're not having, I mean, hopefully you didn't get well actuallyed or anything like that.
Yeah. And now that, you know, slowly Apple is catching up to the reasonable world, I can also rely on being able to charge my phone at other people's houses. Fair.
Is it USB-C yet?
Yeah, okay, it's been nice. USB-C for a while because Europe.
I thought it just got here, right? It didn't exist before Apple did it. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Well, I've always felt like I've had sympathy for Android users. I mean, I would say relative maybe to other co-hosts of this podcast have more sympathy to Android users. Because I only got on like the iPhone 5, so I wasn't like... day one iPhone user, and I think it also, especially then, I mean, you couldn't share on iOS for like a couple years, and my like G1 that I had at the time could do all that type of stuff. But I am curious now, maybe this will be like a little mark in the ground of like what it's like in the next few years, because it does seem to me that stuff like shortcuts or like using the HomePod and all the connectedness is starting to pay off. Whereas before it was kind of like, there's the ecosystem, but it's kind of like, yeah, like it's,
well,
it's
I mean, easy, I will not. Say that, because for a number of years, there was always a pretty large gap between apps coming
to
iOS and then to Android. Like I got, you know, I got Instagram like, I don't know, 9 months, yeah, a year later than everyone else.
Being, like, super jealous.
Like I can't use Overcast. Yeah. Just saying, just, you know. But that clearly wasn't enough to like trigger me. I think I was like, no, I'm a cranky underdog. You're not going to. But when I was in New York earlier this year, I dropped my phone in the subway. And it's the first time in my life that I've actually cracked a phone screen.
Nice.
But it hurt. But I was like, couldn't I have done this before it costs like $400 to change out a phone screen?
Like the whole glass.
No, it's just like it's one of the corner. It's one of the corner has like a couple of chips, and then there's some hairline cracks through the front of the glass. But like I can feel them, so I'm in this weird in between state where I'm like, it's the cost of half a new phone to replace the glass. But the phone is only like 2 years old, so I don't want to, you know. So, and then I'm like, should I get an iPhone? And then I'm like, but that's like a, I joke about everything that it's a, you know, a cheap used car. But I mean, even you have to admit, like the iPhones are not cheap.
Yeah.
The Androids are catching up to some of the older models, but they're still cheaper. But then I'm like, but it's a 2 year old phone. It works. I don't have a problem with it. And I know that this might feel foreign to many people, especially iPhone users who are like, it doesn't matter how my old iPhone is, there's a new one.
Yeah.
and Android users would not be able to afford to update at the same speed.
Well, do you get updates to your OS still yet? Or did they, is it already out of the cycle?
No, I get, I mean, I feel like all I do is update all types of different software. And then sometimes it's like a tiny, sometimes it's a tiny thing. And then, I mean, it's probably actually not that often. It's just that I put it off and then it goes,
as soon as you finish.
Would you like to?
Yeah, I think, I mean, sometimes iOS does like push it forward so much that the older devices end up not being very well optimized. And so they do like, it is, I'd say Android phones are a little bit better at like kind of staying steady throughout that lifespan, whereas the iPhone does tend to drop off towards the end. I mean, I don't know. I honestly, I don't even know. I haven't done it in so long. I can't really speak to that. And it's like my mom still uses her phone and it's fine. Like,
yeah,
I don't think that's like the huge thing. I am curious if there's any, I'm trying to think of like the equivalent of AppleCare, or because like one thing too is I now buy on the iPhone upgrade program, which there's the implication that you're going to continue buying them. So that maybe isn't part of it, but I haven't paid full price for an iPhone for the last 2 years because you only pay for the first year. And then when you upgrade, you're only halfway through that payment.
I could, on my phone plan, like I have like a free floating phone plan. So I've never bought a phone or not never, but like I don't really buy my phones through because I'm like,
yeah.
Part of, I don't know, it's this weird thing. I'm like, I don't want to, I don't want my phone on layaway. I don't want to be locked into stuff. I want to be able to either, I haven't left my phone provider in 10 years, but like as a principal, and I want to upgrade when I want to upgrade. And with AppleCare, like my phone is way past the like 1 year warranty, and my home insurance would probably cover it, but I think the deductible would make it kind of like an even Steven sucky situation. There's actually, most home insurances in Sweden have what's called klutz insurance. So like you have a lot of stuff. It's like it breaks just because you it's not like, oh, it broke and it wasn't my fault. It's like, oh, it was totally my fault because I drove over my phone, like whatever.
That sounds nice.
But there's like a klutz proviso.
Is it? That's actually the term for it.
Too. Yeah. Drulle, which means like nice. A klutz.
That's awesome. So I'm curious, you were saying before it's your beloved apps that keep you on Android, and I may have never heard that.
Well, it's not even necessarily the beloved apps, just like, you know, I got them the way I want them. Certain apps I,
for sure.
Yeah. And just like sometimes I'll have, I mean, it took me a while to switch podcast apps just because I was like, I'm going to have to go through manually and be like, find all my subscriptions, figure out which episodes I've like been saving for 100 days and still haven't listened, like going through all of that. Every just because episode. You're like, just the effort, and
that's totally, I mean,
and part of that is just like, it's
a huge thing,
and part of it is just like a mental block where you're like, you know, I got my things where I want them. I don't want to move house, I don't want to clean my closet, I don't want to, like, I things are good.
That does make me think of, I tried to recognize this year, even though I was going through sort of like a self-imposed change, that it's a lot easier to change your productivity habits when something else is already changing. Like maybe when you come back from your vacation, that's like the time to do something. But I have a bad tendency to,
you're in your ruts. Like that's,
do it on a Tuesday when the new app came out and in the middle of the week or something. And it is like, there's huge time costs to doing a lot of this stuff. And I think that can often go.
Oh yeah. How long have you been working on updating all your shortcuts?
I don't have it all collated in here, but it's probably been a solid 40 hours of,
over how long,
of over the last like 6 weeks. I mean, I haven't like attacked it every day like I'm doing 3 hours a day or something, but some of it is due to the specific ways that shortcuts hasn't been updated or could be in the future. And that's what's so ironic, is that working on shortcuts itself is not at all automated, but the rest of what it can do is all automated. But I'm hoping.
Yeah, yesterday was a supposed beta release day. Yeah. So like Matt was sort of vibrating around the house. Yeah, like where is it?
The automations. And then now today, just all the betas came out and it's the next version, 13.1 or so. I don't know who, this may all sort itself out. By the time
something about regular expressions works better now.
But yeah, that, I'll accept that shame, but I feel like the users
well, it's not shaming. It's just like you're in your ruts, and if the ruts get deep enough, it does take some effort to sort of
exactly. It's like
swerve out of them.
I should have done this over the last year instead of batching it for over the summer. But it's like when there's no automations to play with, I was like, I have to do something, and it is like it'll. I'm excited to share those with people someday soon, but I'm curious. So wait, what are the Android apps? I feel like we got away. Is it mostly just like...
I think it's mostly... Let me go through my phone. Like, I don't think this will make it buzz weirdly. I mean, I'll admit sometimes I'm also just like... Because I'm very bad at actually using the cloud. So part of it is also just like moving everything over, like actual content, just like files. But let's see here. Sense. I mean, it's no like one specific app that's only available for... I think there's a couple, like, sometimes it's also, like, when I bought weird, like, peripheral toys in the past, mm-hmm. and, like, that app either didn't exist for iPhone at the time, or, like, it doesn't work for the updates. Mm-hmm. So certain, like, you know, photo transferring from weird old cameras or weird old, like, Polaroid printer weird toys. But, no, like, I can't say any one.
Can I see your home screen real quick, if you don't mind? Is that a...
No, go ahead.
Invasion of privacy? Is it Messages, Chrome, Gmail? Is that Instagram?
I don't know.
And the dock?
No, that's the camera.
Okay.
So you have the bubbles connected of like by reading, looking, listening.
Man, I don't think I've used an Android. That's nice. I like the screen. It's.
I usually have a pop socket on my phone, but the glue died as I was demonstrating something. So I'm going to buy a new one here.
Interesting.
Are you becoming...
No, I'm just, don't worry. See, I think that's what's, like, even what you just said, it's hard to articulate which ones you use and why. I mean, it is like, you probably would spend like 25 hours switching all your stuff over eventually. And it is just like,
who has and the thing that? Is, I would have to do it if and when I buy a new Android as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like, I know what this looks like. Like, this is, you know, like you come home after a trip and your house smells the way a house is supposed to.
Your Android phone smells the way it's supposed to.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious. That is like, I do want to make more videos that can
lure people in.
I'm not like trying to convince people, but I think that's what's fascinating about something like Shortcuts, even for people who use iPhones, is people don't, like, apps have been silos for the last 10 years, or you can like send data and forth, but like using this app, then that app, then sending it here and like formatted right just isn't something people think of.
I will say though that one thing that it just occurred to me, actually, Android really, really does have over iOS is because there are so many different models and so many different makers, you're not locked into it when something suddenly gets annoying. For instance, for a long time, I could charge my phone and listen to things at the same time.
What's that like?
So that was one thing that was like, which is, and because now I have USB-C, but before, like, I could charge, you know, my camera, my phone, and something else all using the same cord. And now, you know,
it's just a different cord.
Yeah, well, I mean, now I still have some things that still go on micro USB, but, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So where if suddenly, like, Samsung decides to, like, we want a physical antenna now, because that's the thing, I can be like, all right, I'm going to go
alternative
to completely different. Whereas, you know, when the iPhone's like... You guys don't need headphones. That's silly. Mm-hmm.
Have you tried AirPods though? That's the question.
I my ears are so sensitive. Yeah, like it just won't work.
Yeah, does. But, I totally got my girlfriend into AirPods, and I'm like, I didn't get her into it. She just used them and was like, oh, these are just like. She's like, I don't have to untangle my headphones now, and I'm like,
well, like you can still have like wireless headphones like with Bluetooth.
That's fair.
But if I want to have corded headphones, I can.
The option that isn't, the lightning ones, those are bad.
Yeah, but like so just like those little kind of things where I could just be like, I'm taking my toys and I'm going to the next house over. I don't know why we're in this weird house metaphor, but that kind of thing where I'm like a little freer, and in theory I can adjust and adapt stuff about my phone and my apps way more than you can.
What words?
Well, just like you can just do around more in the settings,
Right.
Which is like less and less relevant as phones get more and more complicated, but like as a principle.
I feel like that's what's, I mean, and it's kind of baked in versus, I think there's a lot of developers have to adopt it on iOS that they're not good enough at doing it. I don't know why some, like, Google still doesn't even do split view stuff, and you're just like, damn you. Like, people can, like, hold that hostage, whereas you have more of the option. Yeah, that makes sense. That's fair. I'm curious, for me, like, I think I was saying to you, I've spent more time since switching to iPhone thinking about what software I'm using, less than the hardware, partially because there's not a choice, but kind of like, I just don't, it's not something I need to consider because it's like good enough, or I don't know, maybe too expensive now. that's definitely, it is just like fascinating. I've been like, I am, especially like with Pontus, I'm curious of how much has, because iOS is getting more and more customizable each year now, and like dramatically so compared to last year or the year before, where you can do themes and that type of thing, but it is like not the whole experience. So maybe it's on the developers. It's all there. No.
Yeah. Stay tuned to hear the episode with the person in this marriage that Matt really wants to talk to.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean,
no,
I
and it, but it's also like with the iPad, I find that because it has so many like weird, fun, smart, like splay all your fingers, like all that kind of stuff. And I don't really use like a touchpad mouse at home. I use a mouse. So like that's also where I'm like, yeah, no, these are super smart, but I just don't want to get into learning them.
Yeah.
And because I've only recently started using it more for work, I'm like, everything is annoying. You have to get into the mindset of like, oh, right. Exactly. Even stuff like the back button is over here, not over here.
Not
it's like,
just
it's
doing,
I mean, it's
a little swipe from the bottom, which is like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also, you know, it's kind of like if you have to use a different browser at work or wherever, where you're like, the functions are different.
I mean, it would be like if I got on a Windows computer, I could still do the same stuff, but it would just be, it's just,
you'd have to look for, because I'm you know, fairly tech literate, I can figure out how stuff works, but I'm also easily annoyable.
Yeah.
So when you have that sort of little filter or threshold to be like, to easily do stuff, that can feel way bigger than it is in the moment.
Mm-hmm. It is, you were saying that, and I am curious, because I had an iPad since the iPad 2, and I was using the Evernote flip cover thing that you could peek and do your notes in college. And so, like, I don't even know what it's like to not have an iPad for so long that I am curious. It's just like, you can't really tell what's as great about iOS because it's on just a small screen and you're like sitting there and like, I don't want to thumb tap all this stuff, but like,
well, right now it's also kind of annoying because all of the functions that I want will in theory be out pretty much after I get back, like stuff like being able to connect stuff like USB things into the
like, you would be great on the beta right now if
exactly
it wasn't all messed up or something,
like that kind of thing, like being able to do a bunch of the stuff or like keeping opening two documents in the same app with split screen, like that kind of thing, which is kind of like, it's amusing that like the things that I would need right now for the kind of work that I'm doing. But what I did find actually is it also takes me a while to get into using sort of my finger and the pen in like worky programs, for instance, editing podcasts, where I'm so used to having sort of the mouse as an intermediary. So I'm like, it feels really weird to sort of physically cut a track, you're so used to
Ferret's like the best example of that. I don't know if you've tried LumaFusion. It's probably like if you're
I shook my head because this is a podcast.
Yeah,
sorry.
If you haven't, it's like it doesn't have the file workflow that you need, which my brain is like, come on, shortcuts, do something, help me there. But it was like very interesting, like pulling a clip with my hand, and like the direct manipulation is fascinating with that production because, or like the pencil specifically can do like all this. I think I have in Ferrite where I'm just holding the pencil and if I double tap it, it'll start playing and pause it. And I'm always
that's a lot of those functions that I also need to get more comfortable with, like, you know, like Ferrite, I don't have to, not just Ferrite, but I was thinking about the pencil more, just being like, I don't have to like manually switch the tools in Procreate, for instance. Like I can set functions, be like, if I double click it, it's an eraser or whatever, like whatever the functions are. Yeah. Somebody's yelling at their phone right now. Sorry.
I feel like you have the Pencil 1, which can't do the, it has like this flat side on the Pencil 2 is what, but also then it is specifically with Ferrite was the best one because I'm not holding my hand to the screen or reaching to do playback, I can just sit with my hand to the side. And I was like, very specific. I feel like I need to make a video or something because
it, you should.
Somebody on Mac Stories posted an article and he was like, I only use the keyboard and do it all. And it is like an impressive app that you can do it only via touch or only via the keyboard, and it's still just as good either way, which almost isn't true anywhere else. Maybe.
Yeah, and I do like the pencil because it means that, like, when I'm doing a lot of drawing, I don't need to, like, wear, you know, a screen protective glove so that I don't do weird stuff to the, because it's like, if you're using the if you're using the pencil, you don't want anything else to draw, which is not true for a lot of other tablets. Like, it's like stylus and the heel of your hand. You know what I just realized? If the listeners don't know who I am, they don't know that I'm from Sweden, and that's where a lot of the market is different, and also why some of my traveling here is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I did say that I was going to be in the US for a month, but that's why also I need extra buttons on my keyboard.
Yeah, that does make more sense.
So that's the thing. That was it. I just realized, like, it's a little footnote.
Maybe I can edit that in somehow.
But no.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the like international part is an interesting, I mean, especially coming to California, because it's like a lot of people have iPhones, and it's kind of just like a,
because
like
Sweden,
a regional
Sweden is
dialect almost, where it's like people just kind of use that.
Yeah, no, Sweden is, I mean, we're a fairly like tech forward country. We were really early on internet. We had like, you could get, for a while there was a grant so that everyone would have a home computer in like early 90s, that kind of thing. We've had always good internet, always good tech education. So a lot of people do use iPhones. But for instance, it means that I can't necessarily buy certain peripherals or fun things here because somebody needs to rebuild it so that I have the letters that I need to be able to write, like that kind of thing. It is a little relevant too.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, especially though, like,
and also I need to bring a lot of adapters when I travel.
Just in California, it's like, there's not a like diversity of tech usage, whereas I feel like you were saying, Pontus does Linux and stuff like that. I mean, obviously there's tons of engineers or whatever that are doing that type of stuff, but probably on a consumer level, I mean, it's like, even just like the lock-in culturally is a thing that's,
well, because you were iMessage shaming me.
Oh yeah, that's what.
It wasn't shaming to begin with, but it was because Matt and I were trying to communicate because I was somewhere else first. Like, when are we going to meet up? Whatever. And at first, you were messaging me on Instagram, and then I think you tried to send me an iMessage, and you also sent me a text message.
Yeah,
and I didn't know the difference. Because I was like, I think a text message is probably, like, it's good to have, but it also means that I will have to pay, like, a higher fee for every text message I send, and I don't have iMessage on my phone, and it was so foreign to you that I wouldn't, like, I will say I also don't have, like, WhatsApp on my phone. Somebody's like, I'll WhatsApp you a picture, and I was like, no, you won't.
It was funny, because it was a confluence of both of those, because it's totally, like, I saw two digits, three digits, two digits, two digits.
And
I was
it's a
like,
country code.
How do I message you without you? I was trying to say, how do I, because I also, like, I think I knew that you had, or like Pontus was in the realm. And so I forgot that I was trying to say, how do I message you without charging you fees?
Mm-hmm.
But I just happened to say iMessage. And then you were like, I don't have, because it's like, I also think I put it in and it showed that you had iMessage, but it sent you a text. And I was like, oh God.
But I also, but the thing is,
unintentionally.
But that text also came as an iMessage to my iPad, but I saw that much later because you know, I don't have like cell reception here. So I steal cafe Wi-Fi all around.
But I unintentionally revealed my bias at the same time.
Well, because it's a given. Like, most people you talk to, you're going to be able to find them easily on iMessage, or like you have a group text, and then the one poor person who has an Android is just like, can't be in on it.
For like, I think it showed up as Telegram also, where I was like, how do I send you a message without charging you fees? And it's the California bias, unfortunately, came out. But I do think it's like, I mean, that's always, there's like an article recently that's like, that's a huge thing, especially in the US in like high school, where a kid is like, oh, I'll get an Android phone, and then like gets left out of the group chats and stuff. And I feel like that is one of those things that's, for me, it's just kind of always been that way. And I don't really know what else you can do about it.
And that's where you sort of get stuck into weird, like where a lot of people I have like Facebook Messenger chats with, because that's the one place you're almost sure most people are good. Because not everyone uses Google Hangouts, for instance. Yeah. If some people have iMessage, other people have. But most people do use Facebook. Yeah. And I'm like, the Messenger, like the Facebook Messenger chat actually kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And it also,
well, they like bloated it.
Yeah. And it also means that a lot of people who maybe don't want to use the app will have to go to like the web login to use it. So they won't get notification. Like, it's still complicated. But so where can you find people? And then you always get into these discussions in like Facebook groups or Facebook Messenger where people are like, well, should we get a Slack? Should we this and that? And it's like, in some ways and in some groups, it works great. But you're also not going to get everyone moving over to Slack or Discord or like wherever.
It's got
to
be fascinating.
I'm like, the days of IRC. Like, I miss IRC. Yeah. It was handy. You could have little sub rooms.
That's got to be fascinating, though, because there's got to be. It's not just like that's got to have actual real world consequences all over the place.
Oh, definitely.
It's just like you like don't cross the border or whatever, which is totally
don't cross stupid. The streams.
Yeah, it's like. But like it is like you just kind of don't talk to that person as much. And then suddenly you end up not talking to any Android people and you do an Apple podcast. I don't know. In theory.
Wait, am I here on a quota?
Yeah, exactly. You're the diversity. Okay.
Right. I'm a neuroatypical queer woman. That's weird on this,
but
this podcast.
It's all about the Android. Oh, you were saying that. It's like you only learn new apps and stuff when you need it.
Yeah, like functions. Yeah. It's not necessarily the apps, but it's not important. We kind of got into my laziness, so yeah, I think we're good.
A bit of like, I am just a person who naturally tries to explore those things. And I feel like, especially when you're a nerd and you talk to other nerds all the time, you assume that everybody's like that. But like,
well, the funny thing is I explore a lot of stuff and like I find functions, but I think it's because I view my iPad kind of the same way I view, again, work computers, where you're like, I need to quickly figure out the functions that I actually need here. I'm not going to need all these weird, or like a CMS for, I don't know how many people listening have worked somewhere where you publish things, but like, you're like, okay, there are tons of functions here, and if and when I need them, I'll figure them out, because like, it's fun to be the one person who can like, go and sort of the back end and poke around and be like, I know HTML, woohoo. But mostly, and I'm the same with the iPad, where I'm like, I can totally figure this out, but I'm going to figure out the thing that I need right now, which I think is like both good and bad. But it's interesting that specifically the iPad, not my iMac, but the iPad, I'm like, meh, this is annoying. And then I'm like, I'll do it in the complicated roundabout way, because that's the way I remember.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably somewhat just how
people iOS work.
just like, because you have to probably get an app, whereas on the Mac, sometimes you can
figure it out
without going through.
I think also that, because I feel like with the iPad, and I'm assuming iPhones as well, it's this really interesting mix of like parts of it are sort of super instinctual or organic, like it makes total sense, like I scroll or I zoom or I pinch, and then other things like where else in the world would I splay five fingers, like nothing else has. So some of it is super intuitive. And some of it, there's no way you would figure out. Or you make it happen, and then you have, like, I have no idea what I just swiped.
How did I just get that in this, especially, like, all the gesture or split view or, like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, either you're like, wait, I want to reproduce this, and I don't know how. Or you're like, wait, how do I get back to where I was? Again, some things, super intuitive. And that I think that mix is also part of what sometimes might be a little bit of a threshold, where I'm like, I can figure out all these things, I just see what happens. Then I'm like, I have no idea what I just did, because it's like, if you hold three fingers over here and two fingers over here, and then you wiggle your butt, and then you get like a third screen. I don't know.
That's is that how you activate?
Yeah,
I'm wiggling my butt on a podcast.
It happened. You got a third screen on his iPad. Try it at home.
See, it's like, and then of course I'm like, this does, it makes my market wide open, because it's like I have iPad gestures video, because it is like people don't know. And I think a big thing too is like, you just can't do that on your phone, you never will. And it's, I mean, that's what's great about this,
because like you put your five fingers down and then you're out of screen.
Yeah, exactly. You throw your phone on the ground.
Wait, let's talk about that as well.
Sure. What,
the giant iPhones?
Yeah,
I'm a lady. I only get lady pockets.
Yeah,
just want to put that out there.
I mean
I have big boobs, so it will fit in nature's pocket, like in my bra, but my Galaxy is, you know, waterproof.
Oh, yeah.
And only recently have iPhones become more sweat safe.
Yeah. Oh, did you kill a phone in your boobs?
I will neither confirm nor deny. No, but it has gone like, hey, you have moisture in your input. That also sounds very dirty. But but you know, like that kind of thing. So where
well,
I'm
I
like,
say, I
where it's like the smacks, which is like, oh, hello, you have another tablet now.
Yeah.
But you can actually, this is really funny. A little side note about. Well, I guess it was about 10 years ago when the iPad came to Sweden, because actually it was so funny. I do a lot of like tech talk on TV and radio. And so first I was like on TV talking about like, what's the point of the iPad? And we also had to have another tablet there because it was public television. So they couldn't like, and I was like, but this is a news.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I did this sort of like consumer information show where we did a face off of the iPad and some Android tablet. So we were in a hockey rink and we're like walking across the ice, sitting down on the chair looking at each other, and I said to her, like, because she was like, well, it's great because you can make phone calls on it, and I was like, if you can hold that up to your ear without laughing, I will possibly concede that point. And she couldn't. And now I'm like, now the, you know, the smacks is basically like close to where the original iPad was.
Yeah, it's like my whole side of my face.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I have supposedly I'm not going to say it that way. I have man hands and I do not want this phone either. It's way too big. And
well, I only have like a Galaxy S8, I think. I can't remember. Yeah, no, it is.
Well, yours are skinnier.
But I also
mine's fat. It's like,
but I also like, that's one of the reasons that I love the pop socket when I discovered it a couple of years ago, and even like stuff before that, because that means that I don't have to like try and like hold the phone and then reach my fat little thumbs across the whole screen. Like I can actually hold the back of the phone.
Oh, do you do the pinky ledge? That is one thing that once the iPhones went to, this was on a different show, but once they went to this size, I started holding my phone like this and not beneath it, because it's also like, because you'll just,
we're a whole generation,
the phone will just top over.
We're gonna have a whole generation of just like a divot here. Exactly. No, but like, because with, when I have the pop socket again, I need to go to an unnamed store, I know this isn't public radio, but some sort of big box, and just like get a couple of pop sockets, because then I don't have to have my little finger on it. But as the glue on my most recent one gave up for some reason, like I had to start sort of propping it up with my finger because I couldn't put weight on the pop socket. This is so dignified. But yeah. No, I mean, it is kind of fun too, because like I've been, like I said, for over 10 years trying to explain to regular folks stuff about tech. And it's really interesting to see, you know, all the developments and how, you know, for instance, like explaining to people on morning TV what the point of the iPad is.
Yeah.
And then like explaining what's the point of extra batteries. And people are like, you're crazy. Why do you need an extra battery? Yeah. Why do you have an extra battery? Like all the stuff that I was, you know, not necessarily an early adopter. Sometimes it was just like, I'm an early reviewer. Like I was at this weird trade show. But it's interesting to see like how much of a given it just is, and how people use it and how differently they use it. Like there are some people who are like, this is a phone and a map, and that is all I will ever exactly. And maybe I take pictures of my flowers, and that's all this phone will ever be.
I think that's what it was like. I'm not just trying to talk to your husband after I talk to you. It's like, I am fascinated how each person uses it, because it's always valid what they need and what they don't need, and like what you enjoy versus maybe it is just habit or something like that. And
no, I'm sure that like I could get a ton of use out of shortcuts, because I'm also a person who will go through periods of like, I now have a specific organizational system for how I work, and then it'll either stop working or I won't like it, or I'll find another one, or I come back to it. So I'm sure that like, if I, you know, get the flu, I'll sit down and make a bunch of shortcuts, or just steal them off Ponce's iPad.
I feel like it will be like what you were saying of watching stuff change over the next 10 years. I think that's what's something like shortcuts to me is fascinating, because it's like new and shiny and very powerful, but like a lot of people don't really know how to use it. And like, I truly don't even know what it changes too. Like,
cause the thing is, what I think is, cause a lot of the time you can imagine the tech, but not the world. Cause there's like, there's a,
that's a really freaking point.
No, because we were talking yesterday about like the home of the future videos from the '50s. And something that I didn't point out then was, there's tons of them, but there's one that I always remember and I always come back to and use as an example, because it's a Home of the Future video from like the, I would say, early 50s. And so they're in this cute little house, and they have They have all these terminals all throughout the house. So like in the study, Dad is like mm-hmm. doing work, and then he moves over to the second terminal on his desk to like look at the bank stuff. That's, and he's like frustrated at all the dresses
I'm
he's
at
bought.
My screens on my desk right now.
But. And then like so there's and then the mom is looking at the screen in the kitchen and like ordering food and planning stuff. And then she goes to the one in the living room and looks at dresses in a catalog. And it's like first you're just like, oh, it's funny because they couldn't imagine that it could all be in one box, and never mind that it could be in your hand. But then it's also like, okay, you can imagine all this amazing technology, like he can video conference with his boss somewhere else in the 50s, you're imagining this, but the idea that the woman could have her own job and her own money and her own bank account, and that her husband is not looking at it frustrated that she's buying all these dresses, and that the only thing she would use it for is to look at catalogs of things to buy and plan her, like and it's just so fascinating because again, and you see that in a lot of like science fiction where it's like amazing, but we're still racist and misogynist. It's great, you know, and it's and I feel kind of the same way, like with all this tech as well. Like we can imagine a lot of things it can do, but it's really hard to figure out like, OK, so, you know, the climate collapses, we're all in Mad Max. What kind of batteries are we going to have to re-sort of solder to to make them work then?
I'm like, guys, I'm really good at building iOS scripts. And it's like, that doesn't help anymore.
I do
think about that, especially because it is not at all the iPad. It's the iPhone, and how many people throughout the world do use their phones as their computer. And I feel like that is it. Like, sometimes it's almost hard to pitch to the US people because they have such specific uses of technology in the context. And it's like other people are willing to do their whole life through that and automate.
Yeah, because I would find a lot, you know, talking about this stuff where I sometimes if I couldn't like think of a topic, I would pitch something super basic to me when I was like, they're going to laugh at me about this. And A, people in the newsroom, and then very clearly the audience. Because to me, for instance, I talked about pregnancy apps. Mm-hmm. I'm not pregnant. I don't have kids. But I was like, you know, people around me, if you get pregnant, obviously you're going to download an app that's going to tell you the things you need to know. And like your baby is now the size of a whatever kind of citrus fruit. And it's not the given. It's like, yes, with me and my dorky friends, it's a given. But people, even like people in the newsroom were like, wait, what? There are pregnancy apps? That's a thing? And that's what you really have to realize. Like, for instance, sometimes it's funny, like you rent a car and they ask it, do you want to also buy or do you want to rent a GPS? Do you want to rent? And you're like, why would I need that? But then there are people, maybe, you know, they have a dumb phone or they haven't figured out their phone or they're really bad at charging their phone or whatever. Or like, for instance,
like data plans.
Yeah. Or if you forget to get the offline maps, like, yeah, sure. So it's really dangerous, I think, to assume that everyone uses tech the way you do. And like, it's a given that just because there is an app for that, everybody knows that there's an app for that.
Exactly. I think that's a big thing that I don't remember where this quote is from, but it's like, assume they have zero experience, but infinite intelligence, where it's like, you don't have to talk down to somebody because they might not have heard the thing, but you don't have to assume they get it and you can still be clear. And I feel like that's, especially like with iPad and stuff, it's, I've been using it for 8 years or something. It's like, of course you can do five fingers.
No, but like I've been the one to tell super techie tech dudes in the US about the PopSocket.
Yeah.
And like I showed them and they're like, wow, that's awesome. Or I can tell someone who seems like they'd be, you know, they're like, wait, what was that app you did that? And I was like, oh, it's this other photo editing app that makes like, because you can never assume because it's something, but unless you follow all news streams all the time and then also watch the weird YouTube video where someone tries out this weird new, you know, and so you can always check and be like, hey, have you heard about, because it sounds like, actually, no, I want to give one tip to all dudes and dudettes of the tech variety. Actually, no, anyone in any given situation, always ask, do you want advice or do you need to vent?
Yeah.
And then when they say advice, you can go like, hey, this app, this doodad, this shortcut could help you do that.
Nice. I love that.
And even if, like, I'm sure that if I tried, I have a flight in a few hours, but if I had a week and I tried, I could maybe find something that Matthew doesn't know about to tell him.
Well,
actually, I'd probably tell you not to. Yeah.
I don't know about. Don't worry. Well, I like that. Also, don't assume the person might have iMessage also. That's another thing I gotta take. But it is like, I think there is so much, especially in the Apple world, me being self placing myself in there of like listening to it too much, is it is too easy to like forget all of the variety of how other people use it. And I think also trying to share what you like about it in a way that's trying to like help, but maybe they do just want
like friendly and accessible.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't want to like suggest that you should use shortcuts, but here's some cool stuff that I do. And like, maybe it is worth it, but
yeah. Cause sometimes you really do get that of like, hey, my Android is doing this. Can someone help me? It's like, the answer is buy an iPhone.
I feel like I would never recommend. I don't like those types of recommendations, but yeah.
Where you're also like, so I can either, you know, buy this new charger for $12, yeah, or oh, I can buy a new iPhone for
$1,800.
Yeah, no worries.
1,000% more expensive. All right, I think that is the end of this episode of Supercomputer.
Julia, thank you for having me on Supercompooper.
Where can people find you?
Right now, online. In your house. In my house. Do you want me to OPSEC you? No, I am at Julia Scott, SKOTT, almost all places. Mm-hmm. Make Do is on Relay FM, so you can check out relay.fm/MakeDoPod. I have cool stickers, so.
Ooh, I got good stickers.
But yeah, find me on the internet and just know that I'm famous in Sweden.
All right, thanks for listening. See you later, nerds.